Well, it's good to see you here this morning. I hope you've had a great Christmas. Looking forward to celebrating the new year. We're going to get into the Word of God this morning. Is that okay? We're going to read from the book of Job, from the end of the book of Job, in chapter 42, just six verses, and then we're going to see what God has to say to us through this portion of Scripture. So turn with me to Job 42, and we're just going to read the first six verses. It's headed in my Bible as Job's Confession and Repentance. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that you can do all things and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. Who is this that hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore I have uttered what I did not understand, things too wonderful for me which I did not know. Hear, and I will speak. I will question you, and you make it known to me. I had heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes see you. Therefore I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes. I had only heard about you before, but now I see you, he says. You know, we've all heard about God, whether it's being brought up in church or whether we've discovered him for ourselves, or whether we went to school and they had songs and we sang Kumbaya and we said prayers and whatever it was. We've all heard about God, and people around the world have heard about God, whether they believe that he exists or not. Most people have heard about God. And we're aware of this person that Christians call God. And although many people have very different understandings of who he is, and that understanding might be based on how they've seen Christians act, and that's something we should probably be a bit concerned about. We need to be mindful of that. People's understanding of God can be taken from the way we live our lives. But people have heard about God. And Job lived this life. You know, you may know the story of Job or you may not, but Job lived this life that was incredible, and he was so blessed. He had a wife and a family, and he had great wealth and land and cattle, and then all of that was taken away from him. He was completely destroyed. The life that he had known was gone. It was taken away, and in the end, he was just left kind of sitting in the dirt, covered in sores, and it says, I think at the end of chapter 2, that he was sat in the ashes just picking at these sores with a broken bit of pot. Delightful, isn't it? He'd had this amazing life, and then it just fell down to become this life of nothing. And then three men come along, three friends of Job, and they begin to speak into his life, and they supposedly show him support and comfort, and then they begin to speak to him about his God, and they begin to tell him things about his God that perhaps lead him to, or could perhaps lead him away from keeping his eyes on God. And there's something that happens in our hearts and in our spirits when we go from hearing something to seeing something. And if you're a Christian here this morning, you'll have heard about God, but at some point in your life, there will have been a moment of revelation where you moved from hearing about God and having a knowledge and an understanding about God to actually seeing him. There'll have been this moment, and you might be able to pinpoint the very first moment, but this isn't a one-time thing. It happens over and over again, where we move from hearing about God and understanding about God and knowing about the things that he can do and will do to actually seeing that in action. And we actually see him move, and we see his face. And when we go from that place of hearing and that place of knowledge to seeing, it's this revelation that God reveals to us something of himself, and he reveals to us something of his spirit. And it's not a sight with physical eyes, it's a sight with spiritual eyes that God's given to us, and then something is illuminated within our spirit where we go, oh, that's you. It's not just head knowledge anymore. I can actually see you doing this thing that you've promised. I can actually see that you're the healer. I can see that you're the comforter. I can see that you actually do love me in spite of myself. We move from this place of knowledge and this place of hearing to a place of seeing God. And it's like in the Bible where Jesus is with his disciples and he turns to Peter. And in that one moment, something incredible happens. There's this new revelation that Peter has because he spent so much time walking with Jesus and learning from Jesus and talking with him and eating with him. But then Jesus turns to him and says, Peter, who do you say I am? And in that moment, there's fresh revelation that comes to him and he moves from this place of hearing to knowing. And he says, you are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God. And it's like his eyes are finally opened and he sees the truth for himself. It's no longer just a head knowledge. It's an actual spiritual sight. And it's amazing because, you know, we're talking about a Jewish man here who would know the Torah inside out and know the prophecy of the Savior who would come into the world. And he'd actually been living with this guy for a long time and walking with him and learning from him. And then something happens and it moves from knowledge and hearing to a place of sight. I can actually see you are the Christ. And I'm believing as we're moving into the new year, as we're moving into 29, that we're going to see people come into this church. We're going to see people come into this building, and not because there's anything special about us or about this building, but we're going to see people come in who have heard about God, who know about God, who've got some understanding about him, whether that be right or wrong. But as they enter into this place, they're going to see something new. They're going to see something fresh. They're going to have a fresh revelation of Jesus. Not because of us, not because of this building, but because of the Holy Spirit is here and he is at work. And we've already seen that this morning. We could really sense the presence of God in this place. And I believe that as people enter in to the presence of God, eyes will be opened and they will begin to see for themselves. And that might be for the first time we're praising God and praying for people to see him for the first time. But maybe they just need a fresh revelation. Maybe these are people who have known God for a long time, but just need something new, need some fresh revelation, need to just be put back on the path that God has for them. And it'll no longer just be about hearing. You know, perhaps they've heard that church is irrelevant, or perhaps they've seen the way that Christians live and they're believing that that's the way of God, when actually, you know, we mess up because we're human. But when they enter into the presence of God, their eyes will be opened and they'll begin to see him. They'll begin to see him with their spirit, and then things will start to happen. And that's exciting. When we begin to see God for real, then things start to happen inside our spirit. Things are released and things can be opened up, and that's exciting. You excited? I'm excited about that. And Job is saying here in this portion that we've read, I had only heard about you before. And his friends were there, his friends. And they were speaking to him. They were telling him how to feel. They were telling him what his God was like. And they were telling him this stuff that was actually not helpful. They were almost telling him things that were going to lead him away from God. And in that place, if you or I were in that place where we'd had so much and then we'd been taken down to nothing, and then someone comes to drop seeds of doubt into your mind, it would be so easy to be taken down that path, that downward spiral where we're led away from God because, you know, doubts creep in. We're human. We begin to question things. Why is this happening to me? Why is this going on? Why is this not working out? And then people start to fuel that fire a little bit, and you can easily go down this rabbit hole away from God. But praise God that Job had a faith that was strong enough to not hear these words that were being spoken to him, but that his eyes were open and he saw God for himself. Not for the first time, because he had a great relationship with God, but just again, returning, this kind of repeat refreshing revelation of God where he saw him again and said, do you know what? You're not right. The words that you're speaking over my God are not true. I know God. I've seen him. And I will praise him in spite of that. And it's not just about seeing him. It's about other people seeing him in us and seeing him through us, through the way that we live our lives, through the way that we talk, through the way that we act, through the way that we live. You see, it's great to come to church and it's great to sing songs and it's great to hear someone speak about God. But if your Sunday doesn't impact your Monday, then we've missed the point. You know, we don't just come here for a nice thing to do. You know, I'd quite like a lie-in on a Sunday morning, but I choose to come here because I know that I get to meet with God. And that's not to say we can only meet with him here, but the Bible encourages us to meet corporately and to gather together as a collective to praise his name. So we come here not to hear about God, but to see him. We come to church not to hear about God, but to see him with our own eyes. Because the things that happen on a Sunday morning shouldn't just be nice things, but they should reveal something of Jesus to us. You know, we sing the same songs over and over again, and they can become repetitive, and we can almost become blinded to the meaning of some of the words. But I pray that as we enter church every Sunday, that we'll ask God to reveal something new to us. Because that same song that you've sung for over a year now can actually have something brand new one morning if you're open to allowing God to reveal that within you. When we come to church, we should see something of Jesus, not with our physical eyes, but with our spiritual eyes, something of who Jesus is and what he's done and what you can do through him. What you can do through him. And actually what happened was Job, that as he moved from this place of hearing to seeing God, that out of that revelation came a need for confession and repentance. Because when we really see God, when we really have that moment with him where his face is revealed to us and we get a glimpse of who he is, then that should naturally, inside of us, show us things that we're not doing right. You know, the Holy Spirit begins to convict us when we see God face to face. And the natural reaction of that, because we want to love him and because we want to worship him and because we want to honor him, when we see him and when we have that revelation, we should want to say, I'm sorry. I messed up again. I'm sorry for these things that I do. Please help me to be better. Please show me how to stay on that path. Because when we move from hearing to seeing him, it highlights things within our spirit. It highlights things that are wrong in our lives, and there should be a genuine desire to say sorry. You know, sometimes my kids mess up and they do something wrong, and they've learned to say sorry sometimes, not all the time, but they've learned to say sorry. It's like a learned behavior. But that's just a hearing thing. That's not a seeing thing. Because when they see that what they've done has upset me, then there will be a genuine desire to want to say sorry. Because if it's just lip service, if they're just saying it because that's what's the right thing to do, then that doesn't mean anything. That just comes from a place of hearing. Oh, I've heard that I'm supposed to say I'm sorry, so I'll say I'm sorry. I've heard other people say they're sorry, so I'll say I'm sorry. But when you see the impact that your actions have, when you see how that makes someone feel, then there's a genuine desire within your heart to want to apologize and to want to try your best to not do that thing again. And that's what's happening with Job. He moves from hearing to seeing, and he says, God, I'm sorry for doubting you. I'm sorry. It's a genuine response. And saying sorry isn't a one-time thing. You know, when we welcomed God into our lives, we said, Lord God, I'm sorry for all the things I've done wrong. I pray that you'll come into my life and change me, and I'm yours now forever. The end. Done. I'm covered. Well, you are covered Praise Jesus, at that moment where you accepted God into your lives, your sins are forgiven from that moment and beyond through until the end of eternity. But that doesn't mean that we shouldn't say sorry every time we mess up. And if you're anything like me, that means we should be saying sorry a heck of a lot, because we mess up, we fall, we stumble, and there should be a genuine desire. It should be a natural response as we see Jesus to want to say that we're sorry. We expect it of our kids. We expect it of our peers. Why not expect it for God? And there may well be people here this morning that actually, you know, we've heard about God and we're Christians, but we're living out of a place of hearing rather than seeing who God is. And that's two very different places. And it's really easy to drift from one to the other. What I'm talking about this morning isn't a one-time thing. You don't move from one place to the other and then you live here for the rest of your lives. You know, I can get pumped up. I don't know whether sometimes when you go to a conference, it gives you a high, doesn't it? You know, you go to this atmosphere and you're in this Christian bubble and all you're hearing about is God and all you're seeing is God, and you move from a place of hearing to a place of seeing. But you don't stay there, because as soon as you move out of that bubble and you move back into your everyday life and you begin to almost forget about the experience and the high of the conference, you naturally want to gravitate back to the old way of living, because inside of each and every one of us is a sinful man and woman who's desperately trying to get out. But we need to cling on to the face of Jesus. We need to keep our eyes fixed on the face of Jesus, because when we're seeing him, when we're really seeing him, we'll have that revelation within our spirits that wants to do our best for him. We can't just live out of a place of hearing. We have to move to a place of knowing and a place of seeing who God is. And you know, some of us this morning, we just need to repent and say, God, I'm sorry. You know, I've just not been living the way I should, and I know it, but I'm sorry. Let me move back to this place where I can see your face. Let me move back to a place where I can have contact with you, where I can have relationship with you, where I can be connected with you. Help me to see you again with my spiritual eyes and get fresh revelation of who you are and of who I can be. You know, we have these five senses, don't we? We've got sight, smell, hearing, touch, taste, and they're all there, and you know, thankfully for most of us, we've got access to all five of these incredible senses that God's given us. But sometimes when we use the senses, it can be for something good, and sometimes when we use these senses, it can be for something bad. So we've just been through Christmas, and you know, I was blessed with the sense of smell of my mum's cooking coming through the kitchen, and it was an incredible taste too. But you know, we ate Christmas dinner and there were sprouts, and then I'm thinking that maybe the smells that came later on were less good, you know. So sometimes we have these smells that are good and are pleasing, but then sometimes there can be smells that are less pleasant, and we call that cause and effect. And, you know, as you'd expect, our kids got some pretty cool presents. And on Christmas Day, Taya opened this pack of makeup brushes, and she taught me all about what the different brushes mean and what they do. And I'm now an expert at contouring and all that kind of stuff. Definitely not. But after opening this present, she spent the next hour just brushing the back of her hand with these brushes because it was so soft to the touch. But then Caleb opened his Christmas presents and he got a pot of slime. Now, any parents will probably know what slime is. It's this gooey, gloopy thing that can only be described as something a goblin has coughed up. And you just kind of hold it in your hands and it feels weird. It's just weird. There's no other way to describe it. And we have these senses that can be used for good and that can feel something good, but also that can experience something bad. And actually, in this particular instance, the senses that Job was using sometimes were for good, but sometimes were for bad. Because you see, you can hear stuff that actually is bad for us. We can hear stuff spoken into our lives and spoken over us that can take root in our hearts and can keep us trapped for years. People can speak things into your life, and if you hear those words, it can keep you trapped for years. You know, I know of people who were told at school by teachers that they'd never amount to anything, that the dreams that they had wouldn't come to fruition because they weren't good enough, or they weren't clever enough, or whatever it was. And those things that they heard take root in their hearts, take a deep root in their hearts. And it can affect the rest of their lives because they've heard, they've used their senses, but the experience was something bad. And let me tell you, it isn't until you see God and you experience his presence and you have that fresh revelation again that then that negativity can be drawn out from the root and then release comes. Because when we hear something bad and we hold on to it, it takes root, and those roots will just keep going and keep driving deeper and deeper. But when we see God, then he brings something new, and he says, those words that were spoken over you were lies. They're not the words that I speak over you. I say, you are my son, or you are my daughter. I say, you are loved. I say, you are destined for great things. And these words that he says, he speaks over our lives, then begin to dig out that negativity and replace them with the truth. Because when we meet with God and we see his face, we move from this place of hearing to seeing, and he gives us fresh revelation. And then, and only then, can things change in our lives that bring a release. And when those things are released from us and we're released out of these chains and the bondage that we were entangled in, then we can begin to walk on the plans and purposes that God has for our lives, because you are fearfully and wonderfully made. These are the words that God speaks over you. I love you unconditionally. No matter what it is that you've done, no matter how many times you've messed up, I love you. And as we begin to believe those things, the negativity is uprooted and we can be released. Do you know, I wonder if there's someone here this morning that has had something spoken over their lives and something that's holding them back, something that's chaining you in, something that's keeping you in bondage, whether it's a hurt or a pain from the past. It might not be words, it might have been actions. But that hurt and the pain from the past is holding you, and it's keeping you from, you know, it's causing you to doubt the all-loving nature of God. And that thing from the past is something that's got you questioning whether he really does have a plan and purpose for your life. But I pray that even this morning, as we've been singing, and as we hear from God, and as we give him worship and honor him and glorify him, that we'll meet with him and he'll begin to uproot those things and replace them with the truth. Because he really does have a plan for you. He really does have a purpose for you. He really does have the right job for you. He really does have the right partner for you. He really does have something in line for your life to give you purpose. Because he loves you. And he created you, and he put you on this earth for a reason. You see, up to this point, Job was being fed information by his friends, by people that he trusted, by people that he gave permission to speak into and over his life. But they were feeding him information that was taking him away from God. And he was drifting back from that place of having seen God to a place of just hearing about him. But the things that he was hearing weren't truthful. He was being told things that were making him question his understanding of who God was, and he was moving further and further away from the plans and purposes that God had put on his life. You know, Proverbs 2 says, "Listen to what I say and treasure up my commands. Tune your ears to wisdom and concentrate on understanding." And Proverbs 4 says, "Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it." We need to be careful. We need to be careful what it is that we're allowing into our life. You know, there's this principle, rubbish in, rubbish out. If you listen to rubbish, you're going to speak out rubbish. If you look at rubbish, you're going to act out rubbish. We need to guard our hearts. We need to be careful what we're consuming. We need to be cautious. You know, just because it says God TV in the corner, or because you can buy it from a Christian bookshop, it doesn't mean it's good for you. It doesn't mean it's good for you. We need to be careful. Not every preacher that professes to speak the gospel of Jesus is good for you. Feel free to listen. Feel free to watch. Feel free to read. But the Bible says, weigh these things. The Bible says, test these things. You know, we can't just assume that the words that we hear and the things that we read and the things that we see are truth. You know, I mean, I'm standing here on this platform. Don't believe what I say. Don't take this at face value. Go home. Check it out for yourself. If you've got problems, then come back and talk to me. Let's chat it out. I can grow too. You know, I pray I'm not speaking anything that's heretical, because I believe that when I stand on this platform, I'm speaking something that God has given me. But we need to be a people of revelation, not information. We need to be a people of revelation, not information. I genuinely believe that when I stand on this platform and I speak out, that I'm speaking a word that God has given me to give to you. But you should definitely weigh it. You should definitely check it against Scripture. Do you know, I mean, it's so amazing to me that God is outside of time, and I believe that I could be speaking this message here today, but actually in 2 or 3 years' time, someone might stumble upon this online and be challenged and inspired by it, because God is incredible and he can do things that blow our minds like that. But I also believe that the messages that God gives to me are for us, or for the people he knows are going to be in this room. But you should definitely test it. You should definitely weigh it, because it might not be for you. It might be for the person sat next to you, or in front of you, or behind you. Check it. Weigh it in your heart. Ask God if it's something that's for you. Ask God to reveal to you something through it. And then we move from a place of hearing the words that I'm speaking, just an ordinary man speaking out words, to seeing God. And the bridge between hearing and seeing is the Holy Spirit, and he will bring that revelation to you. He will prompt you inside to say, listen up, this is for you. Listen up, you need to be hearing this. You need to hear this, because as you listen to these words, you're going to see Jesus. We need to be careful about the things that we're taking in. We can't live off someone else's experience of God. We can't live off someone else's word from God. We need to see him for ourselves. I mean, Job was a blameless man, but he listened to information. He listened to people's words, the things that they were speaking to him, and they were speaking into him, and they could have taken his eyes off who God really was. But he had to come back to a place of personal revelation, because he'd heard all these words spoken to him by his friends, but he needed to say, no, I'm not just hearing God anymore, I'm seeing him. I'm no longer just hearing you, I'm seeing you, and God, I'm sorry. I've heard about you, but now I see you. I see you, God. I see your goodness. I see your faithfulness. I see your love. I see who you are. And like I said before, this isn't a one-time thing. This isn't a one-time transaction. This isn't a one-time transition where we move from one place to the next. It's something we need to be mindful of daily. You know, the Bible says, pick up your cross and follow me daily. We need to make a decision to move from just hearing to seeing God on a daily basis. Because if we're not seeing him every day, then those days when we're not seeing him, we're not living for him. We need to be fixed on him. We need to lift our eyes up to him on a daily basis, on an hourly basis, on a minute-by-minute basis. It's so important to just remind ourselves that although we moved there one time, it doesn't mean we're still there. Although we've seen Jesus, it doesn't mean that we're still living there. Perhaps we need to return to a place of revelation. Perhaps we need to return to a place where Jesus can reveal himself. It's so important to know that we can't feed ourselves from others' information. We can't live off other people's experiences. We have to have a real and personal encounter with God to truly see him for ourselves. You know, there's no substitute for reading your Bible. There's no substitute for just you and God praying it out. There is absolutely no substitute for that, because that's just you and God. It's one-on-one. It's focused. And it's in those moments, it's in those quiet times, it's in those situations where you put yourself in a place where it's just you and Jesus, that he can really begin to reveal who he is. And he can really begin to bring that fresh revelation, and perhaps he'll begin to highlight something that we've heard so many times, but it'll be new to us because our eyes are fixed on him. There's no substitute for creating that space for just you and God, for creating space for him to speak to us. You know, I love concerts. I love going to see and experience live music. And I've got a very broad taste in music, but my kind of default, my go-to type of music is angry, shouty music. We call it screamo, and I absolutely love it. I just love the energy. I love the passion. I love the excitement that it gets from being at a concert where these people are playing loud, thrashy, shouty music. And that might not be for you, and I'm guessing it's probably not for any of you, or most of you, I'm looking at. But, you know, I just love being in that environment. Being surrounded by people who are just jumping up and down and crowd surfing and just going crazy for the experience and the moment that they're in. And there's nothing quite like being there seeing that band that you love. There's nothing like it. Now, I've never been to a festival. I hate camping. That's probably the biggest barrier for me going to a festival. I don't much like massive crowds, and I don't like the idea of standing in the mud and the rain to watch a band. So they're the barriers that have stopped me going to a festival, which I probably should do because I love music so much. But when Leeds and Reading Festival comes round, or Glastonbury comes round, they televise it. So I get to sit in the comfort of my living room, on my couch, and watch the bands that I like. And I can skip the songs I don't want to listen to. I can choose which band I want to listen to on the red button. I don't have to pay £20 for a can of Coke. I can go to bed in my own bed. I'm dry. I'm not muddy. I'm not smelly. I can enjoy it from that comfort. But do you know, there's nothing like being there. Because as much as I could try and replicate it by watching it outside, stood in a muddy puddle at my own home, it's still not going to be the same thing. There's nothing like being there in the moment. You know, when I go to concerts, I look around and there's so many people holding up their phones, trying to capture it. And the sound quality that comes off that is rubbish. And there's nothing, you know, they can go and post that on social media or try to relive it later on in time, but there's nothing like being there. You can try and capture it or relive it in another way, but there's nothing like being there. And it's like that with God. We can try to replicate those moments where we've met him, but actually there's nothing like just spending time with him. Just you and him. Just you and him. You can't replace that. There's nothing that can replace that feeling. And when we create that space, that one-on-one time with us and God, he begins to bring fresh revelation to us. He begins to speak truth over us. He begins to uproot those lies that have been spoken over us. He begins to speak into you who you are and remind you whose you are and remind you all that you can be when you live in partnership with him. Remind you of all that you can do when you keep your eyes fixed on him. There's no replacement for personal time with him. There's no replacement for personal revelation of Jesus Christ. You know, I've been challenged recently that we need to be a people that have a greater understanding of God's word. And I believe that people are living illiterate lives because they don't know the power of God through his word. And we need to be people who understand the times that we're living in. And I don't profess to understand it at all, but there are things happening in our world today that point to Jesus' return. We need to be a people that understand what's going on around us because people's hearts are failing them. And we as a church across the globe need to rise up and be everything that God's called us to be. And that means standing for righteousness, standing for truth, standing for hope, standing for justice, standing for love. We need to rise up and do all that God calls us to be so that we can make a difference in the world. But we can't do that if we're not fixed on him. We can't be the people that God calls us to be if we're not seeing his face. Do we see him? Do we see him? Do we really see him? Do we see the King of Kings? Do we see the creator of the heavens and the earth? Do we see the God who the Bible says will open up the floodgates of heaven and pour out his blessings on us? Do we see him? Do we really see him? You know, without realizing it, I ended up writing a bit of a message that kind of teases the vision that God's given me for next year. And we're going to have two services at the end of January where Aaron's going to speak vision into our lives. And then I want to follow that on with something that I really feel God's given us specifically for this church. And it's all about grasping hold of the fullness of God. Because although I believe that many of us are living for him, although I believe that many of us are focused on him and are living our lives and the plans and purposes that he has for us, I think that some of us are living sort of at like 20%, and we're okay with that. We're just kind of cruising along at 20%, whatever that looks like for us. But actually, when we grasp hold of the real truth of who God is and the power in the name of Jesus that we were singing about, and we realize that the Bible says that we will do more than Jesus ever did, and when we realize that we can do anything, we can do even more than we can imagine, when we grasp hold of that truth, we can move from kind of coasting at 20% to rising up. Why should we not live a limitless life? Why should we not live at 100%? Because we have access to the throne room. We have access to everything that God has on offer. We can heal in Jesus' name. We can see chains broken in Jesus' name. We can see salvation in Jesus' name if only we would connect to the throne room and really grasp hold of the truth of God. And I'm not trying to insult anyone or saying you're not living well enough this morning, because I believe that we're doing a good job, but we can do so much better. And it's safe for me to say that because we can never not do more. Because even when we think we're doing the most that we could ever do, there's still more to do. Because we have a God who can do the impossible. We have a God that can actually move mountains. I mean, if that doesn't blow your mind, I don't know what will. So when we begin to tap in to that, when we begin to really grasp hold of the truth of that, we can change our game. We can up our lives to a whole new level. But I'm not going to preach on that this morning. I just wanted to drop that little teaser in, and I hope it gets you excited, because I am pumped for it. I am seriously pumped for what next year can bring. Oh, I'll stop going on now. I'm like, I just want to keep going, but it's not for now. It's not for now. Do you know, it's great to hear testimonies of what God's doing in other people's lives, isn't it? It builds faith. It encourages us. But you know, sometimes I think that when we hear testimony of what God's doing in someone's life, we can pray a prayer: God, why can't you do that for me? God, I want to see that for my life. God, I see the financial breakthrough you're doing for them. Can you do it for me? God, you've provided them with a house. Can you do it for me? God, I see that healing. Can you do it for me? Well, let's not pray a prayer that comes out of a place of hearing someone else's experience of God. Let's have our own experience, because it won't look the same. You can pray for God to do that in your life, but let me tell you, he's not going to do that in your life. He's going to do something completely different. He's going to do something that's completely unique to you and to your life and to your situation. I've heard what you did for them. Can you do it for me? No. But I'm going to do something exciting. I'm going to do something different. I'm maybe even going to do something even better. Can we believe for that? It's not about hearing. It's about seeing. We need to be people that don't just hear, but that listen and see. You know, because Job prayed that prayer that we've been focusing on this morning, it goes on to say at the very end of the book that he'd heard all this stuff about God, but now he saw him and his eyes were truly open, and he saw God in his spirit and he repents. And then it says this at the very end in verses 12 to 13, and the Lord blessed the latter days of Job more than his beginning. And he had 14,000 sheep. I don't know what you do with that many sheep. And 6,000 camels and 1,000 yoke of oxen and 1,000 female donkeys. He also had 7 sons and 3 daughters. And then we skip to verse 17. And after this, Job lived 140 years. And he saw his sons and his sons' sons 4 generations. And Job died an old man and full of days. Job moved from a place of hearing to a place of seeing, and God blessed him abundantly. He didn't just hear God, but he saw him for himself. A good father. Someone who wanted to bless him abundantly. Someone who loved him unconditionally. That even though the storms were raging around him, even though the life that he had known was destroyed and taken down to nothing, even though his friends were speaking words of lies into his ears, and they were saying, don't even bother anymore, look at the state of you, you're covered in boils, your livestock's gone, your family's gone, where is your God? But he came back to a place of personal revelation. He saw God for who he was. Let's pray. Lord God, we just thank you that you are so good. We thank you that we can cry out to you and we can call out to you in any situation and circumstance that we find ourselves in. And I pray that we will be a people that move from hearing to seeing. That we can say, God, I see you. I see you in all your glory. I see you in all your majesty and all your faithfulness. I see the abundant blessings you want to pour out on my life. I see your unconditional love. Lord, bring us back to that place of fresh revelation where we move from hearing about you to seeing you for ourselves. Prompt us every time we drift away from that place of being fixed on your eyes, fixed on your face. We just thank you that you're with us. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you continue to work in us, and we thank you for the plans and purposes that you have for our lives. Lord God, I pray this morning against any words of negativity that have been spoken over anyone here this morning. Lord, I pray that even now, as we're in this moment, that you will begin to reveal truth to those people. That you will begin to grab hold of those roots at the very depth and just rip them out of their spirit and replace it with the truth. You are loved. You are loved. You are loved. Father God, we just thank you that you are for us. We thank you that you are for us, that you have amazing plans for us. We thank you that you created us to live a life of abundance. And I just pray that we will walk in that. In Jesus' name, amen.